The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You ready, Davina? Yeah. Yeah, you look pretty ready. Doing all right, Isabella? Yeah, okay, good. You show me those big teeth right there. You can't wait. You can't wait. We're getting ready to do it, Xavier. You're going to have Jesus. You're going to taste him. You know what I was doing last night? What was I doing last night? That's right. Actually, that wasn't last night, but that is good. Yeah, that's exactly right, Jesus. I was preparing you to make sure you knew what to do for Holy Communion a couple of days ago, right? But last night I was actually doing something else. I was hanging out with one of your classmates. I was hanging out with Emily Gage. You know her? Emily Gage, she's in your class. It was her Auntie Barbara's birthday. And as I was there, she showed me something that many of you took part in. She showed me a storybook. A storybook where each of you wrote stories about the places you want to go. Do you remember writing stories about the places you want to go? I read those stories last night. They were good stories and great illustrations. And so what I want to give you today is I want to read you another story. I didn't write this story. It's a really good story. And when I talked to Emily last night, she said, "Father, you know that story that you gave us for our first Holy Communion? You should go ahead and share it with those who are going to be receiving Holy Communion today with my classmates, because I really liked it." And so I'm going to share with you that same story. What's the name of the story? That's right, Joseph's Godfather. Joseph's Godfather. You can see that that's really great penmanship, because I spent about an hour trying to write that in a way that was legible for each of you to be able to see. I even drew a picture on the back of it. But this is a story of Joseph's Godfather. And something that will help you to understand is way, way, way back when, back in the time when your grandparents probably weren't even around, some of them. There was a time of the Second World War. There was a lot of difficulties that were going on at that time, and everybody was afraid. And so that's all you need to know about this story, about Joseph's Godfather. Here's how it begins. It says that if a bomb hadn't fallen in the street next door, Joseph might never have ever come to know who his godfather was. For I tell you the truth, he was a very, very bad godfather indeed. He had never even asked whether Joseph has made his first communion, let alone sent him a birthday present or even a postcard. Then, just before the bomb fell, his mother even received a letter from his godfather, and she read it out loud as everybody laughed. It says, "Dear Margaret, I suppose that you now know that I've moved to England. Here's my most recent address. You'd better send that child of yours to me for the duration of this war. Signed, Arthur." That was Joseph's godfather. You see, Mother was always a really good mother. And because Mother was always a really good mother, she made excuses for the godfather. But she always made excuses for everyone. She said, "Oh, well, your godfather, Joseph, he's been shooting tigers in India for years, miles and miles away from any church, and I'm afraid he's become a little odd because he's been away from church for so long. He may have even given up going mass altogether." And Joseph said in a huff, he said, "What a godfather you got for me, Mother. If he doesn't even attend mass, what sort of godfather would he really be?" And Mother answered him, "Joseph, you just have to pray for him. You just have to pray for your godfather." And then that very next night, what happened was that a bomb fell from the sky and exploded in the street right next door to their house, shaking the whole of the house. And Mother said, "That settles it, Joseph. You must accept your godfather's invitation. I have to send you away for your safety." And Joseph protested. He said, "What? What, Mother? Go and live till the war ends with that man? Who's so odd that he doesn't even come to Mass anymore? Mother, I'd rather stay here with you in the danger. I want to go to Mass." Mother said, "Look, Joseph, you're 10 years old. You're able on your own to find your own way to Mass. You can do it. You're a soldier, son. And you must pray for your godfather. It is going to be hard. It is going to be hard. And you may feel very lonely and strange at first. But your godfather is used to being treated like a king, a little tin god in India. And so you can't talk back to him. You got to know that you must be brave and act like a man and try to offer everything it is that you suffer as a difficulty up for your godfather, because you can make a difference in his life. Because Jesus has made a difference in your life. And so that afternoon, Joseph packed up all his bags and went in there and got on a train, went there and stopped at the place where he'd find his godfather. Joseph would later recall that this was the most terrible, worst day of his entire life up to that point, the most unhappy he had ever been. Although his godfather's cook was kind enough and sat down with him and brought him into the house, made a nice supper for him, Joseph had that sinking feeling in his stomach like nothing was going to be good. So no matter how good the food was that was prepared for him, it felt like ash in his stomach. It felt like it tasted like nothing. And so when he was there, he determined that he wasn't going to cry. He turned to the cook and he said, "Well, cook, what really is my godfather like? What is he really like? I've never met him in my life." And before the cook could answer anything, the Indian maidservant Singh came up to him, was cleaning a pair of shoes, and he said, "Oh, your gentleman, that godfather of yours, he's a fine gentleman. He's a Pukka Sahib." And he said, "What? What's a Pukka Sahib? Do you know what a Pukka Sahib is?" "No, this is what a Pukka Sahib is." He says, "Well, bless your heart," said the cook. "You don't even know what a Pukka Sahib is? That's Indian. It means he's a great gentleman, because that's what the general is." And Joseph said, "My godfather is a general too?" And so he said, "Oh, proudly, he's a great general. The soldiers tremble when he speaks. Tigers even run away when they hear the rumble of his voice." And just then they heard a bell ring. And as that bell ring, Singh went to answer it. And he came back for Joseph and he said, "Joseph, your godfather will see you now." And so Joseph took hold of Singh's hand, the little boy that he was, and was frightened, even more so than he was of the bombs as he approached the door. And getting to it, he said, "I must be brave." So he said, "I'll walk in by myself," and left Singh at the door and walked in. You know what he saw when he walked into that house? Walked into that room? He saw there laying before him a tiger skin rug, complete with a tiger's head. He saw there this huge chair that was standing before that, very beautifully upholstered. And there was a man looking the other direction, and so he timidly approached. As he got closer and closer, he looked up there, and what did he see? He saw a bristling old gentleman with a mustache twisted into spikes that were like two daggers sticking up. He saw a monocle that was in one eye and a very, very large red nose with eyebrows that just bristled out, and fiery blue eyes that seemed to dart about like antennae that Joseph had seen only in old photographs and nature books. Joseph politely and courteously looked up and said, "How do you do, sir?"
"How do you do? Eh, ha, that's a good one. How do I do?" Godfather gave a savage roar of laughter, and Joseph, who couldn't see anything funny in his greeting, began to tremble in fear. "How do I do? Ha, ha, I do fine. Take good care. How do I do? Well, how do you do, Joseph? That's the point. Let's see. You come here. Let me see you better in the light."
"Thank you, sir. I'm doing well."
"Stuff and nonsense. Don't answer me back. Very well. Up my word, you look half starved," as he screwed in his monocle tightly into his face, as though he was grinding it there. And he looked carefully at Joseph and said, "I've never seen such a weedy child in my life. Do you eat at all? You look like a bit of grass that's grown up in the darkness of a cellar, or a carrot that somebody's pulled out far too early. So white are you. I suppose you don't get any exercise, do you? You probably don't even know how to play polo." And he said, "Play what? Do you know what polo is?" Neither did Joseph. Joseph had no idea what it was. "Polo, are you deaf?" he roared. "You probably don't even ride any horses." He said, "No, sir." "Ah, you're frightened of them, are you? A frightened little boy you are." Joseph said, "No, sir, I'm not frightened of horses." "Don't answer me back. Don't answer me back. I know what's right. I wouldn't put up with that from a tiger. I wouldn't put up with that from a cannibal. And I wouldn't put up with that sort of talk from a regiment of soldiers. Bah! It's mutiny, I tell you. Mutiny." Joseph didn't have a really good interaction with his godfather, did he? No. He was afraid of him still. And so the days went on, day after day after day. And soon, Joseph got real friendly with the cook who was so nice to him. And he got friendly with that Indian Singh, who was his godfather's maidservant. They had plenty of fun riding on ponies and doing all sorts of things. And although his godfather roared and sputtered at him from time to time, he even began to like his godfather, because he showered him with all sorts of presents all the time. And he didn't even make him go to school. He allowed him to stay up as long as he wanted every night, and even let him eat late dinners. In fact, he spoiled Joseph so much that he began to act a little disrespectful to the cook. He began to quarrel with Singh, even though that Indian maidservant was his best friend in the whole world. And at the end of this, he began to also be choosy about his food. And worst of all, he found it really boring to say his prayers every night like he used to say with his mother. And all of a sudden, one night, he came to his senses. He thought about himself and he said, "Look, I've become a very rotten young man, haven't I? Become a rotten Catholic." And so he said, "This is what I resolve to do. I'm going to begin offering sacrifices for my godfather to make sure that I grow as a Catholic. And in fact, what I'm going to do to make sure that I do them, I'm going to write them down as I do them so that I remember what I did and am encouraged to do it more often." So he made a list and he said, "I'm going to do this." So at the beginning of this list, he began to write it down and he titled it Sacrifices for Godfather. And he asked Cook and Godfather if he ever went to Mass. And Cook said about his godfather, "No, bless your heart. The poor soul hasn't entered into a church for many years." Well, the rest of the story, I'm going to have to tell you from the point of view of the godfather. It only makes sense from that. So instead of talking about what Joseph sees, I'm going to talk to you about what Godfather sees. See, to tell you the truth, Godfather began to like Joseph very much, more and more each and every day, because he watched him each day looking out his window to see what it was that Joseph was doing. He watched him ride his pony like a good, proper young man, and he was very proud of him. And when he caught sight of him, he thought that he didn't know what was going on, but he walked into his room and knocked something off the desk. And you know what fell? A list. Do you know what was on that list? It was the very same list that he had been working on. He picked it up, unfurled it, because it sort of crumpled it up a little bit. And when he began to read it, he started to frown and to twirl his mustache. He stared at it and said, "What the? By Jove, I can't believe." And he began to read it over and over again. It was titled on the top of it. It said, "Sacrifices for Godfather in order to convert him to be a better Catholic." And he began to read them one by one by one. The first one that he said, "I didn't answer back." Second one, "I ate stewed pears, which I absolutely hate." Third one, "I didn't have lemonade or soda, which I really, really love." And it went on and on just like that, repeating those, even with hash marks next to them for each time he did each one of those things. And the next day what happened is that Joseph found Singh and the cook worried. They said, "The master's sick. The master's sick. He's gone mad." Cook began to shout out. He said he wouldn't touch a nice little chicken that I served for him last night for dinner. He didn't eat it, and I know he loves it. Singh said, "Yes, too. I saw him last night, and he wouldn't even ask for any whiskey to drink down at the end of his day. I saw him only drinking cold water." And the cook said to him, "Why don't you go see him, Joseph? Why don't you take him shoes and ask him where it is that he hurts?" So Singh went and brought him his shoes and began to talk with him a little bit later. And after a long time, he came back even more worried than he was before. And Singh said, "The master, he's gone mad. He's gone absolutely mad. As I was walking in there, I bumped him up against a drawer and knocked off the finest bit of china that was there, and it came crashing to the floor. And I saw the master as he looked at me. As he looked at me, he began to get infuriated. A vein even began to pop out of his head as he turned toward me, and then all of a sudden, he grew pale and said nothing, biting his tongue. The master's never done this before. He should have gone off on me." So everybody turned to Joseph and they said, "Joseph, we think your godfather is getting ready to die. He must be very sick. Why don't you go and spend time with him, because he may not have much time left?" And so Joseph went. He peered through that door just like he did the very first day when he came to meet his godfather. But this time, he wasn't nervous at all. When he walked into there, he began to say, "Godfather, Godfather, please, you have to tell me what's up. cook and sing. They're so worried about you, they think that you're dying. You aren't eating your chicken. You aren't even drinking any of your whiskey or soda. And you aren't swearing or shouting at any of the times. Godfather, if you're dying, you better let me call for the priest so that he can come to you and visit with you and hear your final confession. Because we want you to go to heaven. We don't want you to go to hell dying in your sins. And all of a sudden, what happened was Godfather began to laugh. He began to laugh, but not very loud, more like a giggle. More like a giggle. And his face looked like a boy who had been caught doing something very, very silly. He pulled out of his pocket a little piece of paper that was there and began to unfurl it and straighten it all out. And as he pulled out this list, it was Joseph's list. And he began to put it out on his knees so that everybody could see it. And he said, "See, look, Joseph, do you know what this is?" As he held out that list. And Joseph became as red as a geranium. And he said, "Yes, Godfather, I know what that is." Godfather turned to Joseph and he said, "See, look, I've been trying to follow this list. I've been looking at seeing all these things that you did, Joseph, and trying to do what you've done for me. I try to do what you've done for me as well. But you see, you must think it's very decent of you, but by Jove, I can't keep up with you. All these things that you've done, I've tried to do in a like manner. I haven't even started on stew pears, which make me sick. Ah, why, tigers and cannibals are easy for me to keep down compared to the old sinful man in me. But I give it to you, Joseph. You've got more mutt in you than I have. You've got more strength in you than I will ever have." And Joseph says, "Oh, no, sir. You don't understand. There's nothing great about me. I mean, what I'm doing, it's very hard for me. But you see, Godfather, I'm not able to do it by myself. You see, the only reason why I'm able to do any of these sacrifices, Godfather, is because I go frequently to confession at least once a month. I go to Holy Communion to receive Jesus every single Sunday. I couldn't do any of these things if it wasn't because Jesus was in me. That's the only reason why I can do any of these things." And he says, "Easy. Easy. These things are easy for you, Joseph." He says, "No, that I'm not, Father. Godfather, these things are very hard for me. And if it wasn't for Jesus in me, I wouldn't even be able to do these, which should be really easy." Godfather says, "Easy. Easy, by gad." But that evening, you know what Joseph did? It was a Saturday. And so Joseph, just like today, came in at 4 o'clock. He made sure that he was the very first one in the line of confession because he came really, really early. And he went and gave a confession and sat with the priest for what it was a very long time, just sitting there with him, making sure he gave all of his sins, even the little small sins, because he wanted to make a good confession this time. And when he came out of the confessional, he looked up and do you know what he saw? He saw the most surprising sight he had ever seen in his whole life. Do you know what it was, Leah? He looked there, and at the very back of the line, you know who he saw? Who did he see, Elias? That's right. He saw his godfather. And quickly he looked down so that his godfather wouldn't see that he saw him and scurried quickly into one of the pews to do his penance. He pretended not to see him, but after he did his penance, he just spent a long time there thanking God because his godfather was going to go to confession. And so that night, when Joseph came down for dinner, he had his hair really well brushed. He washed himself up really nicely, and he was surprised when he came to dinner because he saw all the really nice tableware there. Silver bowls. He saw the really nice silverware there. He saw everything was set up for a great feast. And Godfather was there standing at the edge of the table waiting for his godson to come out, Joseph, standing very proud and beaming. He looked like he was a new person. He called out to Joseph and he said, "Joseph, tonight we're going to have a little celebration because I've done it. I've done it. I've done it. I've gone to confession, by Jove, and I feel like I'm a different man. I feel like I'm a brand new one, just like you, because the last time I went to confession was when I was a little boy just your age. Today we're not going to have those stewed pears. Tonight is a feast." And so what a feast it was. First Singh came in grinning with fried chicken and handed it to each one of them on a beautiful silver dish. He brought a huge bowl full of mashed potatoes, rich with gravy, and had a slice of butter right in the middle of it. They even had fresh green beans that were there from Cook's garden. And Cook
baked her world-famous biscuits that were there, nice, large, and crisp, and made a salad of apples, nuts, and grapes. But best of all was the dessert. It was a feathery light angel food cake with some chocolate icing, three kinds of ice cream, strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla. It was a great feast. Now, this is a story that I'm telling you on First Communion. What was the really bad thing that Joseph was afraid of in going to visit with his godfather? Why was he afraid? Why didn't he want to go see him? Do you remember, Joshua? Why didn't he want to go see his godfather? His godfather didn't do everything right. What was it on Aaliyah? His mother made excuses for his godfather because his godfather didn't do what? That's right, Xavier. That's right, because he didn't go to Mass ever. And he said, some godfather that is if he doesn't even go to Mass, right? But he went, and he was afraid when he first saw him. And after he began to know what was going on, what was it that went really bad in Joseph's life after he spent a little bit of time? Was he being really kind to those who were taking care of him? No, what did he do, Jacob? Started being rude to them, started arguing with them. Did his godfather make him go to school? No. Did he let him eat whatever he pretty much wanted all the time? He kind of spoiled him, right? And what was the thing that smacked Joseph upside the head that made him realize, whoa, I'm doing everything absolutely wrong? What did he stop doing that his mother and he did every night on Aaliyah? He stopped saying his prayers. And when he realized he stopped saying his prayers, he said, what kind of a bad Catholic am I now? I've got to change my life. And what did he do? What did he do to make sure that his life would be better, Xavier? Made a list. That's right. He made a list of sacrifices that he was going to offer for his godfather. So do you remember any of the sacrifices that he offered, Arya? Do you remember any of the sacrifices that he offered? What about the food that he ate? Did he eat all the best tasting food, Miguel? No, he said he was going to eat stewed pears, which he didn't like at all, huh? That's right, Jesus. He wasn't going to drink soda or lemonade, which he loved so much. What else did he do? He said, I'm not going to talk back to cook anymore. And he went over and over again and listed all those things that he was going to do and offer sacrifices. Were those things that remained secret for the rest of his life? No, that's right. Who found the list? Who was it, Jacob? His godfather. What did his godfather start trying to do when he found the list? What was it, Miguel? He tried to do the same thing, and was he able to do it, Jaden? No, he wasn't. That's right. Wasn't able to do it. So everybody thought he was going to die. But because of those sacrifices, what ultimately happened that Saturday? What did Godfather do on that Saturday? Leah? He went to confession. And did that make his life better? That's right. His godfather started acting like a good godfather then. And because of that, they had a great feast. Did Godfather feel like he was the worst person in the world after the priest heard his confession, Elias? He felt brand new. That's right, Xavier. That's right, Xavier. He felt brand new. And so that's the same thing. I tell you this story, Josiah, so that you can know that you can do the same thing for you. Our hope is that you have really good parents. That you have really good godparents. That you have great grandparents who are going to help you follow in your faith. But if you don't have them, if you have really bad parents and godparents who keep you from Mass, if you have really bad godparents who won't let you make your second or third or 20th Holy Communions, it's all right. What you are called to do is to do the exact same thing that Joseph did for your godfather. Begin offering sacrifices so that they'll love Jesus just like you love Jesus. Because in the same way that Joseph offered sacrifices for his parents, or rather for his godfather, you can offer sacrifices for your parents, for your godfathers, for your godmothers, for your grandparents, that they'll bring you to Mass as well. In the gospel that Deacon Marvin read, do you know what it said? This is what it said about those who try to keep little ones like you from Jesus. Jesus says to them, it's better for a millstone to be tied around their neck and for them to be cast headlong into the sea where they'll drown than for them to lead a little one like you astray and keep you from Jesus. And so it's so important that we do everything it is that we can to help you little ones to come and receive Jesus constantly and often. When, Caden, is your next opportunity to receive your second Holy Communion? Does anybody know? Analia, you can go tomorrow. At what time? You could go to the 10 o'clock Mass, because that's the one you usually go to. When else, Leah? There's an earlier Mass, that's right. At what time you go? At 8 a.m., that's right. And what about, is there another time even earlier than 8 a.m.? Yes, there is, Xavier. Yes, there is. Tonight. Tonight at 5 o'clock there's the Mass. One of your classmates, the twins, went to Mass at 8 o'clock last week to receive their second Holy Communion. And do you know when they received their third Holy Communion? Did they tell you? At the 10 o'clock Mass. They went to two Masses in the same day to be able to receive Jesus a second time because he tasted so good. You can do the same. You can do the same because Jesus is going to wait here at this altar for you. He's going to wait here to give you everything it is so that you can remain connected to Jesus always and forever. I'm going to pray for you that you make your second Holy Communion very soon. But even if your parents and godparents aren't good parents and godparents and won't bring you for your second communion and beyond, you can always offer sacrifices for them so they can love Jesus just like you love Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.